Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the Gary Zimek Show. My name is Gary Zimek, and I am excited as we today on the program look at the Mass readings for the first Sunday of Advent. You know, Advent's a great season because it gives us that new beginning. We just left one liturgical year or one church year, and we begin a new year with the first Sunday of Advent. The message today, you know, it's a good one. I'm going to just call it Stay Awake. Because when we look at the gospel today, essentially what Jesus is telling us in the gospel is stay awake. Don't let the burdens and the busyness of the world cause you to become drowsy, which can easily be done. But instead, stay awake because I am coming soon. Now, what exactly does that mean? I like talking about this. I do a lot of speaking during Lent. Advent's a funny time. Advent's a little crazier because people are running around preparing for Christmas. I do less speaking in Advent than I do during Lent, but I love getting on the radio. I love doing these programs and writing about what Advent's all about. We are expecting something to happen, and I think many times what we do with Advent is we sort of relegate it to the past. This is an event that happened in the past. We're celebrating in a spiritual way. We're commemorating the birth of Christ 2,000 years ago. It is more than that. And that's why this message of stay awake is so important. It's important for me. And I think it's important really for all of us. And that's why there's so much emphasis put on this stay awake message in the first Sunday of Advent. It's like, get ready. The Lord's saying something is about to happen, and it really is something good. Now is the time to prepare. Why? Because something is about to happen. That's what we're going to talk about on the show today. I hope you had a great week, and it really is it's such a blessing to be back with you. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving, and we certainly have so much to be thankful for, no matter what is going on in any of our lives. And for many individuals, this becomes a tough time of year for a number of different reasons. People can be struggling with any number of issues, but no matter what is going on personally in any of our lives, we have certain promises made to us by our Savior, and we have His constant friendship and companionship available. It is difficult sometimes to see that. And last week, you know, we talked about the solemnity of Christ the King. Is Jesus really the King over your life? And this is something that really, I guess I could say it hit me hard last week because I realized that in so many ways, that's not the case. Yes, I have accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I do that every day. But as the challenges come up in my daily life, do I ever take that back and say, all right, Lord, for this moment, You are not exactly the King of my life because I'm going to turn to something else or maybe do something that wouldn't please You. You know, it's not necessarily a conscious choice on my part, but it just tends to happen. So as we come off of that solemnity of Christ the King, really looking at Jesus as the King of the universe, I mean, that's who he is, whether we accept him or not. And now we look at our own life and we realize that, well, maybe I've fallen short. Maybe there's something else I need to do. Maybe there is a problem area in my life. Well, once I do that, right, now Advent gives me that time to make some preparations. Because Jesus wants to come more deeply into our lives, and now it's up to me to do a little work to prepare for him. Because unless I do what I need to do to make some room for him, he's not really going to have any room in my life. So that's why Advent is a great time of year. You look at that kingship of Christ, you look at your own life, and now time to get to work. So we're going to do that. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father right now in prayer, and then we'll continue on with the show. And I would ask you to, as we begin, just to remember that wherever you are right now, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they are all with you. You might not be able to see them, but through faith, we know that they're present. So let's join our voices in prayer as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for once again being with us. Father, thank you for giving us this new beginning of a liturgical year, the season of Advent, a chance to make some changes and to really prepare for and accept the gift that you send us, the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, we lift up our intentions to you right now. We ask you to help us with anything that's causing us to become anxious or causing us to be burdened, causing us to be overwhelmed. We give these intentions to you. We ask you to handle them in the best way possible. Father, we ask you to fill us with your peace. I ask you to use me as your instrument today. I know that you have a message for us. Please use me as your instrument. Please give me the words that you would like me to speak. And finally, Father, please open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we may be able to hear what you have to say and put it into practice. And we ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I got to take a sip of my water, and then I want to share something with you. I wanted to share with you, several times when I pray, I don't script those prayers at the beginning of the show, and sometimes we'll turn to the Father, sometimes we'll turn to Jesus, and on occasion we'll even turn to the Holy Spirit in that prayer, all of which is fine, but sometimes I'll say something a little different, again, because I'm not scripting this, but many times I will say the same thing. And, you know, it's very interesting that there is a tendency. I don't know if you have this tendency, but I know I do, and I think it's kind of common that if we say the same thing in prayer, and it might sound overly simplistic, such as Father, send me your Spirit, Jesus, help me, come Holy Spirit, fill me up, inspire my thoughts, you know, that kind of thing, we tend to downplay it. Because I think there's a certain tendency for us to want to be verbose and eloquent with our prayers. But what we should all keep in mind, and you know why I'm telling you this? Because as I was praying those words, I was starting to feel that tendency in me that's saying, like, you know, Gary, you said this before. But what I want to encourage you is the fact that when you say prayers like that, when I ask the Father to help me, to give me the words, when I ask him to open our minds and our hearts, I need to believe that something happens when I say those words. You know, Jesus has talked about in the Gospels, he mentioned that the Father is not looking at the number of words we offer up to him. What he's looking for is sincerity of heart. He wants those words to mean something. And I think if you're at all like me and you struggle with that, I'm not saying don't say formal prayers, prayers composed by someone else, because they can be really good and they can shape our own prayer life. And I'm also saying don't pray longer prayers, because sometimes they are really good. But what I am saying is I think we all need to remember, if I ask the Father to help me, I need to believe, whether I feel it or not, that prayer did some good. Because unless we start to believe that, then we chip it away. We chip away at our belief in the effectiveness of prayer. And we want to make sure we don't do that. So even if you don't feel like saying one Our Father meaningfully really does anything, I want you to believe that it does. Because it's not about how we craft the words. It's about depending on God to hear and answer our prayers. And I was not prepared to say that, but I sort of cringed a little bit saying, I said that last time. Well, I say the same thing a lot of times when I pray because I mean those words. And I want to be used as the Lord's instrument. And I want him to give me the words because I know that I can come up with my own words, but it might not be his message for us. So don't feel bad about sending up short prayers. Jesus help me worked for Peter, or Jesus save me. That worked for Peter when he was trying to walk on the water and he started to sink when the storm kicked up. Jesus did save him. You know, and even when the apostles in one of the other famous storms at sea woke Jesus up while he was sleeping and they said, "Don't you care if we perish?" That worked for them too because he woke up and he calmed the storm. So I think we could all stand to remember that it's not the volume or the eloquence of our words that moves God. It's the sincerity of our heart. So take that for what it's worth. Hey, nonetheless, it's great to be back here with you on the Gary Zimak Show. As I mentioned at the start, today we're looking at the Mass readings for the first Sunday of Advent. Pretty exciting stuff. Christmas is right around the corner, but let's not get caught up in that. Let's focus more on doing what we need to do to welcome Jesus more deeply into our hearts. Before we look at the Mass readings, I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you go there, you can sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, and we are doing an Advent theme. So make sure if you want a little help during the Advent season, sign up for the free email reflection that I'll be sending out every day. Let not your heart be troubled. Just go to followingthetruth.com and supply your email address and you'll be all set. You can also purchase my latest book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, by going to the website. You can see some samples of my talks and you can also find out how to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And if you have any questions at all, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com or contact me through the website. Okay, let's look at these readings. I need to take a sip of water one more time. They are not overly wordy this week. They are not especially hard to understand, but they send a good message. Because remember, Advent is a time of preparation. I mentioned at the start, so I guess I should do this now. What we want to avoid during Advent is solely thinking that we are symbolically or, you know, just commemorating an event that took place in the past. Yes, we do want to remember that Jesus Christ was born and came into our world, even though we didn't have to. He did it out of love for you and me. So during Advent, we do think about the fact that Jesus came and was born of a virgin approximately 2,000 years ago. That did happen. But if we solely look at that and we look at Advent, no, really, if we look at Christmas as a sort of a celebration of the birthday of Jesus, which happened 2,000 years ago, then we really take all the meaning out of the Advent season, right? Because what's the point in preparing for something that already happened in the past? There's more to the Advent preparation period than that. We also, as a church, want to prepare for the second coming of Jesus. He was born once. He's going to come again in glory. And as we look at the gospel, we're going to realize that Jesus is telling us, get ready. This is going to happen. I'm coming back. And when I do, it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. So we want to certainly make sure that we are ready for that second coming. But here's the challenge with that. And I've fallen into this. I've talked about this a lot. It's a challenging problem for many of us. The fact that Jesus has not returned for over 2,000 years sort of makes it, we sort of make a, it gives us a feeling. I'm not thinking of the word I'm trying to recall. But it sort of gives us a feeling that, well, it's been 2,000 years. It's probably going to be a really, really, really long time before he does come. And it's probably not going to happen in my lifetime. Right? I mean, that is a tendency that many of us have. And he might come tomorrow. We don't know that. But still, most people, most Christians, I think, can get lulled into that false sense of I've got plenty of time. So here's what I recommend. Look, we are all in need of more Jesus in our lives. There's certainly some shortcomings we have. There's certainly some needs that we have, spiritual needs, maybe material needs. We need them. We need them. And I'm sure there is something in your life that's causing you anxiety. You might feel an emptiness. You might feel you just need something. Well, that something is Jesus, for sure. He can help you. So rather than just prepare for the second coming, which is a good thing, and rather even than just preparing for the time when you'll meet Jesus at your death, which is going to happen, we're going to be judged then, why don't we prepare to meet Jesus today, or how about on December 25th, more accurately, and do what we need to do to say, okay, on Christmas Day, he's coming to visit me. Now, we all know he's with us every day, but the more we prepare, the more he's going to be able to work in our lives. So do what we can every day during Advent and get rid of some of the junk, the things that are causing me to be separated from him, so that on December 25th, I'm more ready to welcome him. That's what I propose. In other words, let's make this coming of Jesus into our lives very real and say that I'm going to do what I can to prepare. And by December 25th, I'm going to really be ready to enter into this deeper relationship with him. So that's what I propose we do during the Advent season. We will talk more about it in the weeks to come. But right now, let's look at the gospel that the church uses for this first Sunday of Advent. If you're a new listener to the program, I always lead off with the gospel, because the gospel is really, according to the church, it has a place of prominence. And the gospel contains sort of the main message for the week's readings. The other readings, the first reading and the Psalms specifically, are used to back up the gospel. Let's look at the gospel today. It comes from Luke chapter 21. It begins in verse 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware," Jesus said, "that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." In other words, don't let the things of the world distract you from preparing for Jesus. In a nutshell, that's the message. And man, I am so susceptible to that. Every day I seem to get blindsided by something. Well, maybe during the Advent season, together we can work on what can I eliminate? What is causing me to not follow Jesus as closely as I should? Am I worrying about a problem? Because every time I worry about something, I'm not turning to him and asking him to help me. Maybe some sin that's keeping me apart from him. Maybe I need to work on that with his help. Try to eradicate that from my life. Maybe there's a broken relationship that maybe, well, now's the time to do something about it during this Advent season so that I can be more ready for Jesus on December the 25th, and that day to welcome him more fully into my life. Let's look at the first reading, Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, in that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. He shall do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah shall be safe, and Jerusalem shall dwell secure. This is what they shall call her, the Lord our justice. And you know, this first reading, it's short, sweet, and to the point. The prophet Jeremiah is talking about the coming of a Messiah. It's happening. And I think that message for us is important. Advent isn't a matter of crossing my fingers and wishing that Jesus can come more deeply into my life on December 25th. It's the knowledge, and that's what Christian hope is. It's the knowledge that it will happen, provided I do what I can to make room for him and invite him in. He's going to get more involved in our lives if we invite him in. And I think that's what we want to remember. This is all dependent on us. Well, it's certainly dependent on him, the fact that he's going to make his presence known. But he wants us to do our prayer, our part, to prepare to welcome him. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. Your ways make known to me. Your ways, O Lord, I'm sorry, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and for you I wait all the day. That's a message, a prayer from someone who wants Jesus to guide him, to guide her. You know, this is something for all of us. Do we really want him to teach us? Teach me your paths, Lord. Teach me the way, Lord, that you want me to proceed during these next 4 weeks of the Advent season. Not the way I want to go. You have a plan for me. So send people into my life, send thoughts into my head, give me circumstances to lead me to fix those things that are maybe keeping me away from you. You know, that willingness to do it the Lord's way and to follow him, that's something challenging that gets in the way sometimes, because oftentimes we don't want to do it his way. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. See, he shows us the way. He guides the humble to justice and teaches the humble his way. In order for the Lord to teach me, I have to be humble enough to let him teach me. And, you know, for me, that's something I struggle with. And I know that I'm not alone there. All the paths of the Lord are kindness and constancy toward those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and his covenant for their instruction. You know, this whole psalm is all about, Lord, lead me. Lead me where you want me to go. I want to welcome you more deeply into my life on Christmas Day, but I know some changes have to be made. And I know this could be a little painful, Lord, but lead me. Give me the help that I need. Second reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones. Finally, brothers and sisters, we earnestly ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you should conduct yourselves to please God, and as you are conducting yourselves, you do so even more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And again, these readings, unlike the readings for ordinary time, we see readings that are, we see a gospel and a second reading, and the first reading in the psalm that are specifically chosen for each one of these Advent weeks. I think what I'm feeling today as I look at all these readings is obviously stay awake, be ready. You know, don't get drowsy now. Expect something to happen. And we'll use that December 25th date as that date, that deadline, where we know that on that day, Jesus is coming. He's going to show up. especially if we ask him to show up. And, you know, I understand the fact that he certainly, every day that you turn to him and ask him to come more deeply into your life, that's a possibility. But I think it helps us to look at that date a few weeks in the future and know that, all right, he's coming on December the 25th, and I've got several weeks. And if you follow the mass readings given to you by the given to us by the church, you're going to see the church will lead us down a certain path over the next few weeks of Advent so that we can address certain things that need to be fixed in our lives. And that by December the 25th, we are adequately prepared. Obviously, in addition to looking at the readings, it's a good idea to go to confession as soon as possible during Advent so that we can try to start off with a clean slate and make these preparations to welcome Jesus more deeply into our lives. And I'm blessed to be able to do this with you. And I would ask that you pray for me. I'm going to be praying for you as we go through the next few weeks of Advent so that we are prepared, that we don't get complacent, that we don't think, well, he's come 2,000 years ago. I don't need to do anything. We do need to do something so that this coming of Christ becomes real and occurs in the present moment. You know, like I need him right now. I know I need him. I know that there's improvements that I have to make. And seriously, every Advent for the rest of our lives, this is something we should be doing, similar to what we do during Lent. And never to say that, well, it's good enough. I don't need to work at it anymore. I'm close enough to Jesus right now. We never want to have that attitude because that's not a humble attitude. It's also not a realistic attitude. So together, let's assume something is lacking in our lives and let's begin those preparations. Maybe you become drowsy. Maybe you become a little complacent. I know I fall into that sometimes. I think like, all right, I don't really feel like working today because it is work. You know, it has to, I have to look at my life. I have to be willing to make some changes. Of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit, nobody's asked to do this on their own. But you and I, we have to do something. We got to do some work. And sometimes I don't like to work, I'll be honest. But together, let's do that. And please pray for me as I pray for you as we go through the next several weeks in preparing to welcome Jesus more deeply into our lives. I want to send you once again to followingthetruth.com, which is my website. If you have any questions or you would, you need to get in touch with me, you can do that through the website. I would also ask you to consider making a donation to my ministry or becoming a monthly sponsor. That would really help me. And look, this is an exciting time of year. It's a lot going on. So it's very difficult to focus on the Lord. You know, it's when he talked in this gospel about not becoming drowsy or not letting the carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life cause you to lose your focus. I mean, it can happen. Carousing and drunkenness aside, the anxieties of daily life, they're enough to take our focus off of Jesus. So we just want to be careful about that. We spend a little time with him in prayer. Maybe look at the daily mass readings every day. Maybe go to daily mass a couple of extra times a week besides your Sunday obligation. You know, you start doing these things and you will be able you'll be able to see things differently. And the Lord will, through his Holy Spirit, begin working in your life so that you'll be able to make these changes. And by the time Christmas Day rolls around, you will be all set. All right, I'm looking at the clock. I've got to run. Thank you so much for spending time with me. And I look forward to joining you next week, God willing, right here on the Gary Zimak Show. Bye-bye.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.